Brobeck, Marcus Taylor, and Ashley Franco are investment advisor representatives of, and security and advisory services are offered through USA Financial Securities, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor located at 6020 East Fulton Street, Ada, Michigan, 49301. Milestone Financial Group is not affiliated with USA Financial Securities. The strategies and concepts discussed are for educational purposes only and do not represent specific investment, tax, or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and there is no guarantee of financial success or specific investment results. Results may vary based on individual circumstances. It is in everyone's best interest to consult a tax, legal, or investment professional depending on their unique situations.
And it is time to talk to the folks from Milestone Financial Building Rural Wealth. Dan Miller with me this morning.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Dan?
I'm good.
Good to see you.
Time to talk money about building rural welfare. You just about did it like I did the other day.
It's
hard to break that habit.
You know, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. Working on it, Dan.
It is, but you know, again, we are all about building rural wealth for the rural communities, and so here we are.
Absolutely. Caleb Roebuck with us. Well, Caleb, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
How was your weekend?
It was good. It was good.
Anything fun happened this weekend?
I was telling these guys, ours was a little action-packed, I guess. We got to take the local Girl Scout troop to Sky Zone this weekend. So, yeah, we got to chaperone.
I'm happy you did that. Girls.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what everybody else said. Yeah, I know. That's what everybody else said. Yeah.
Happy that was you. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah. So, no, otherwise it was a great weekend. It was pretty nice out. Good time to be outside.
Weather wasn't too bad. It's pretty cool, which is good for the county. You know, yesterday morning at the Mills County Fair with the livestock show, the beef show, it was nice and cool. And I tell you what. The cattle were feeling a little frisky yesterday morning.
Right?
They were pretty active.
Did anybody get away?
Well, you know, they had a few that were a little rowdy in there. But it was good. So.
There you go. Well, this last weekend, we actually went down and saw my mother and father-in-law down at, they live down by Camdenton, Missouri, which is Lake of the Ozarks area.
Yeah.
So we spent a couple of days, just Thursday and Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday with them. So that was fun.
Yeah.
So got to be at the lake for 2 days, so 3 days.
That's always enjoyable.
Yeah,
it
is fun. It is nice. I mean, we didn't do anything too wild. We did get a boat ride, though, so that was fun. Daryl and Bev have a boat, so we did get a boat ride. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Hey, one of the things that has been in the news a lot is the big, beautiful bill. You turn on any news channel, the big, beautiful bill is all we have heard about. So you're going to kind of break that down a little bit. Talk to me a little bit what this is about, Dan.
Well, you bet. You know, it was signed on Independence Day, about 1,000 pages of the big, beautiful bill signed on Independence Day. And there is going to be some effect for about everybody, you know. So just some of the, just a general overview, and then we'll touch on some of the other thing. You know, one of the biggest, most important things probably of the bill is that it does lock in the 2017 tax cuts. And then in addition to that, it does add some new tax breaks, some deductions for everybody's heard the deal, no taxes on tips and overtime and some auto loan interest. There's going to be a $6,000 deduction for seniors receiving Social Security. And then another thing that's been a little controversial, I know, but there'll be some strategic cuts to funding from Medicaid and SNAP. And, you know, basically, you know, those are designed for those that have kind of been abusing the system. So there's been a lot of controversy about that, but it is designed to, you know, fight abuse, basically.
Yeah.
There will be elimination of some clean energy incentives and overhaul some of the student loan. And again, that kind of goes back to addressing some of the abuses. So as with any bill, you know, how it is going to impact everybody is going to depend on your individual circumstances. And, you know, many of the provisions, like I said, are designed to combat waste, fraud, and abuse. And, you know, it's one of those things, Aaron, you know, how do you eat an elephant? You know, one bite at a time.
Yep.
Well, some of these, you know, we know our national debt. We know our, you know, those kind of things. How do you address some of those things? Well, bite at a time.
Yeah.
And some of the provisions in the bill here are designed to do just that.
Very good. And, you know, and I would agree the Medicaid one is one that you hear a lot about. It probably occupied most of the discussion always revolved around that I've heard. So a lot of discuss there. Okay. Tax cuts. Caleb, what are we talking about there?
Yeah, and especially like for investors and planning and stuff, like kind of through that lens, you know, that's where you know, this adds a lot of permanence to it. You know, mm-hmm. the tax cut or the permanence of the extension of the 2017 tax cuts are now permanent. You know, what Dan mentioned, you know, what people don't realize, if they did nothing this year, tax rates and brackets and all that were going back, reverting to what they were in 2017.
Right.
So now that they've made those permanent and no longer set to expire, they've also increased the standard deduction, which that generally happens, but that standard deduction will continue to go up to $15,750 for single individuals in 2026, and then $31,500 for married filing jointly. And that is, again, increased from this current year as well, too. So that continues to increase in, with inflation. Also, the other big one for investors and planning is the estate and gift tax exemption. That in 2026 is going to $15 million per individual or $30 million for couples. Right now in 2025, that's $13,990,000. But that estate tax, you know, that's been the law that's, you know, talked about at certain times, not mm-hmm. talked about at certain times. You know, in the last few years, it's been relatively high, but in some years, it's been as low as $1 million, you know, and that's where people talk about family farms and things like that. Some years, it's been none. But now with that raising of it and kind of that indexing, it's going to be also indexed to inflation. You know, that gives a lot of clarity to financial planners, you know, to estate planning, to, you know, just hold that whole thing of knowing kind of what that is, that some of that, you know, tug of war has been taken off the table. Because also if they did nothing, it was set to drop to $7 million pre One Big Beautiful Bill passing that back to that 2017. So again, from current law to that,
yeah,
was a pretty big impact as well too. So again, kind of for those things, maybe not a big surprise to people or not big changes most people are going to make. You know, again, for the tax rates, they're staying the same. You know, for the estate taxes, a little bump in there. So, you know, and all that's kind of good news. You know, no big tax shock to anybody.
Right. Okay. All right. Dan, what about new parents? What do we have to look at for children?
Well, first, there is a child tax credit that will increase up to $2,200 per child. And that is will be indexed for inflation. And then also, you may have heard about the Trump accounts. So that's what they're called, the Trump accounts. Mm-hmm. And basically, they're accounts designed for children that are born between 2025 and 2028. Which, if you think about that, that coincides with this current presidential term.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And basically the idea behind that is they're designed to encourage couples to have children. As you know, we've had a decline for several years in the birth rate in mm-hmm. the United States and actually kind of throughout the world.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, and basically, you know, there's a $1,000 one-time federal deposit per child. Okay, so the federal government's going to give you $1,000 to have a child, basically, born in that time frame. Parents can add $5,000 per year. Employers can add up to $2,500, and that'll be non-taxable income. So these grow tax-deferred. They're taxed as long as long-term capital gains on qualified withdrawals. Later on, if I remember correctly, the withdrawal period is after age 18. You know, the idea here, again, is to encourage people to go ahead and have families.
Yeah.
And to help it make it be more affordable to have families.
Yeah. That whole population decline is an interesting conversation that can occupy a lot of time in and of itself. But it is a worldwide phenomenon, absolutely. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One thing on that I'll mention, too, that kind of with everything, you know, because I've looked into some of this, too. You know, some of these rules, this bill just passed, so some of the rules of, like, how they're going to do this, where you set these things up are still to be figured out and designed. So, like, you know, setting up your child's Trump account, if you have one, you know, some of that mechanism of are they using Vanguard or whoever, right. You know, isn't set up yet. So, yeah, just for everybody, there are still some clarifying stuff to come out and stuff, but that's a big one. But, yeah, you know, there's a lot of stuff we'll have to figure out how it implements, but that's a big one that I've kind of already looked at and to do well, and had questions about, too.
Yeah.
So you can't quite open it yet, but they're coming.
It's coming.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about this, families with children, Caleb. So this is, I mean, here you go, Caleb. You have kids and you have families, so talk to me about what does the big, beautiful deal do with Bill do with families with children?
Yeah, so this one where it's already in place of existing, you know, credits or things like that, those ones do kind of happen immediately. So the for families with children, the child tax credit, like Dan mentioned, increases to $2,200 per child. And that becomes permanent and indexes to inflation for future years. So that means it'll continue to go up. That's pretty standard. I mean, that's kind of been that high. Now it increases. It's $2,000 this year, so it's increasing a little bit. But that child tax credit's one that, you know, some years kind of just it doesn't go up every year. It kind of becomes stagnant, so Congress does have to pass it. So for families, like Dan mentioned, for families and planning and tax-wise and stuff too, it does give some, you know, kind of predictability from taxes and planning on that standpoint too. But there are phase-outs with it, like there always has been. Still applies to 200,000 single individuals and then 400,000 married, where those do start to phase out.
Okay. Service workers, is this the tax? This is the – what are we talking about here?
No tax on tips.
Yes,
absolutely.
That's
no tax on tips. Up to $25,000 a year from 2025 through 2028. So it is another, you know, temporary provision that could be extended, of course. And these also do have phase outs. Again, you know, above $150,000 per individual or $300,000 joint income. You know, again, the idea with this is to help those that really need the assistance, you know, or I shouldn't say really need it, but it's not designed to help the folks that, you know, have large incomes. So, and then also no tax on overtime. That was another, if everybody remembers during the campaign, that was another, you know, thing that President Trump ran on back in the day. There is an overtime pay deduction up to $12,500 single, $25,000 joint. And these also have those phase outs that expire in 2025. So that's the no tax on tips, no tax on overtime. We're part of the one big, beautiful bill and will be enacted.
Very cool.
Expire in 2028.
Yeah, and expire in 20, what did I say?
25, I think.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, and expire in 2028.
But they apply to 25.
Yeah, they apply. Like I said, I guess immediately. But
so some of these mechanisms, like to Kayla's point, though, are still engaging,
absolutely,
right? Because just happened.
You got to figure out the logistics of how it all works.
Right.
Yeah, and some of these, you know, do apply to the current year. Some of them start in 2026. So we're trying to note those. But again, this is why it applies to everybody's individual. Talk to your tax person, too, and there's still, you know, kind of final rules to come out, and sometimes those don't even come till tax time.
Right.
But
some of these are, I mean, this is pretty significant with the tip and the overtime pay. I mean, that's certainly something that's significant.
Absolutely. Sure, you know, when I was reading through all this, the one thing that I hope does not happen is will employers manipulate their pay structure to help their employees. You know, in other words, Caleb, guess what? Now you're not going to have any regular salary other than just a little dab. Everything's going to be overtime.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, I mean, not right, Caleb, right. But you know, but will that be, or will, and not to overtime, it'll be tips more would be where people, I don't know. I can see potentially on some unscrupulous.
There's always someone that's trying to work the system.
Work the system.
I mean, without a doubt. It
I
always
hope
happens.
I hope that's not a case.
Right.
But, or I hope that's not a major, you know, thing.
Right.
But I can see where somebody might try to restructure how they pay people a little
Absolutely. We are visiting with Milestone Financial, Building Rural Wealth, talking about the big, beautiful bill. All right. Car buyers. Caleb, what do we have going on there?
Yeah, another new deduction is new car buyers can deduct up to $10,000 of interest on new auto loans, and that does apply to 2025 through 2028, but that applies to American-made, American-manufactured vehicles. So anything bought through 2028, you can deduct up to $10,000 in that in loan interest on it.
Okay.
But there are phase-outs for it. They do apply to $100,000 for single individuals and $200,000 joint. So again, if you're making over those amounts, you know, you get less of that tax deductibility. It also does exclude fleet and commercial vehicles as well too. So you can't go buy a fleet of vehicles for yourself or your business and apply to.
Okay.
So again, there's rules and stuff like that. Like Dan mentioned, you know, we just talked about, you know, there's going to have to be policing and guidelines around some of this stuff of how it actually applies and stuff like that. But again, if you're in the market for that, you know, keep that in mind and also talk to your tax person of what forms you need.
What about high tax states residents? What about those folks, Dan? And how do you determine a high tax state?
Well, I just, you know, the East and West Coast are primarily this is going to affect.
Yeah, okay.
Because I will tell you, I remember back in 2017 when the original bills went into place. And they cut the salt tax, which is state and local taxes, is what salt tax stands for. You know, I remember when they cut that to $10,000, the people on the coast were screaming.
Because it used to be unlimited.
Yeah, it used to be nothing. Yeah, it used to be unlimited. You know, just whatever your state and local taxes are that you paid, you could deduct them.
Yeah.
And then when they deduct, reduce that to $10,000.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, on the coast, their real estate is so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, their tax rates are so expensive mm-hmm. in some of those states that, I mean, it was a huge loss of deduction. So this $40,000 increase is kind of a way to help appease for those people a little bit. And again, it here in this part of the country, not quite a big a deal.
Yeah.
Because $40,000 residence, the $40,000 tax on a residence here in this part of the country would be very, very rare.
Yeah.
And even $10,000, yes, it could be $10,000 or more, so it will affect some people, raising it from 10 to 40, but I don't think too many people in this part of the country will probably be hitting the $40,000 limit even.
Right.
So, and again, there are phase outs on this, and that does begin at $500,000 income. So, and it increases 1% per year until 2029, and then it reverts back in 2030 if nothing else is, changed by then. So, again, it does have some effect here in this part of the country, but not quite as important for us as it is for the folks on the coast.
But the next item here, the Social Security for our senior. Now, this will impact our area for
sure.
Caleb,
yeah,
talk to me about this.
Yeah, no, this is another big one, too, and a little bit just different how they go about it, because it's basically a $6,000 addition to your standard deduction for people 65 and over, and who are claiming Social Security. So it doesn't apply if you're 62, 63, 64 claiming Social Security. This doesn't apply to you. It's 65 and over is that $6,000 additional standard deduction, which for, I think I saw some of the estimates, which for 90% of the people, eliminates their tax on Social Security.
Okay.
And stuff like that. So it's kind of the offset to their Social Security. So it is a pretty big deal, but it does go through 2028. So another one of those ones that end at the end of Trump's term. There are phase outs with this as well, too. It is $75,000 for single individuals and $150,000 for joint. So again, if you're under those phase outs, that extra $6,000 on top of your already standard deduction kind of eliminates your taxes on those. So that's where that happens. So yeah, for folks in those ranges, it can be a big deal, or eliminate, their taxes on there. There are full phase outs then, it starts to phase out at those levels. There are full phase outs then for people, $175,000 for single folks and then $250,000 for joint income. So if you're above those, then that whole extra deduction is eliminated from there. But like I mentioned, nearly 90% of beneficiaries will see no federal taxes on their Social Security benefits. And in Iowa, they do not tax your Social Security benefits as well, too. So if you're fortunate to live in one
state
of those states.
Yes.
State taxes. The one downside or the trade-off is, this could put a little bit more strain on the Social Security and Medicare trust fund with that of no little bit more taxes paying, less taxes being paid in or due to it, but that is a pretty good benefit, but that's also why they put that sunset on it in 2028.
Okay. What about for our student borrowers? Dan, you kind of alluded to them earlier. What's going on there?
Yeah, there are some changes there. And what I've looked at with them, unfortunately, had to be put in place here, again, kind of designed to prevent abuse and encourage folks, abuse, fraud, and then also encourage folks to work. For their grants,
Yeah.
Pell grants expanded to short-term workforce focus programs. New borrowing caps, grad students, $20,500 a year, $100,000 lifetime. Professional degrees, $50,000 a year, $200,000 lifetime. Parent plus, $200,000 per child per year, $65,000 lifetime. And it's elimination of the grad plus loans. One of the things also that I thought was interesting, only two repayment options starting mid-2026, standard fixed payment and income-driven payment. And a way that I understand, a lot of that's designed just simplify things.
Oh, is that what that's for?
Yeah, it's kind of just designed. Because I don't know, of course, our kids went to college, you know, and they had some loans and stuff mm-hmm. while they were there, you know, and I know when they got into the workforce, looked at, you know, there's like 12 different repayment systems, and it was confusing.
Right.
And especially if you had grad loans and stuff like that. And so I know, and I've looked at that with other clients and stuff, and it's confusing. So I think a lot of this is simplicity, and also, again, kind of prevent some of the abuse that has taken place also. And I think, as I understood, the borrowing caps, I think those also are designed to just to help people police themselves.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If you can't borrow it, you won't borrow it.
Right. Right.
You know, because there's a lot of people have just borrowed, I mean, you know, people over the years with student loans, because it's relatively easy to borrow. I mean, in the past, to borrow student loan money. And I think
sometimes people aren't as responsible as they should be.
Exactly.
In that scenario. So.
So I think some of this is just to help people just say, this is all you should, you know.
Yeah, right.
This is it.
Okay. Well, very interesting on that.
Yeah.
So. Huh. All right. We talked a little bit about Medicaid recipients. Talk to me about that, Caleb.
Yeah. So some of the trade-offs in the bill that we mentioned on the beginning are those Medicaid recipients, and part of the projected cuts of the bill are projected $1 trillion in cuts over that 10-year bill period to Medicaid and the Children's Healthcare Insurance Program by also implementing some of those new work requirements for able-bodied adults. You know, some of those 20-hour work weeks, also exemptions applied to some of those as well, too. Also tighter state funding limits and what they can provide and charge for. But also the bill does allocate it for $50 billion in rural hospitals impacted by cuts as well, too. So and something.
And I know this is something that is a concern for all these rural hospitals.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they rely a lot on Medicaid funding.
Yeah.
And so I know, so that $50 billion in there for rural hospitals is huge. Now, is that enough? Yeah. Is that, how's that going to be divided? I don't know.
Right.
You know, but again, it's unfortunate that we had, you know, that some of this stuff had to be put in place, but a lot of it goes back to the fact that some of these programs have been abused over the years, and some of this is just, again, it's that small bite at the elephant to try to cure some of that stuff that's been abused for
some of it has been
50 years
and abused
more.
There's been a lot of abuse in many cases, so
All
right, so the $50 billion though will go to rural hospitals, which in our area, that's most of the hospitals in our area. So like you said, how's that divvied up, and is that enough? Who knows at this point, but we'll see. So, SNAP benefits, people on SNAP. What are we talking about there, Dan?
Well, again, SNAP's to contribute. One of the things that states who are now going to contribute a larger portion of those SNAP benefits, 5 to 15% of those benefit costs, and up to 75% of the administration cost, administrating the programs. And that's a substantial increase for some of the states. And like Caleb mentioned, there are expanded work requirements. Again, the idea here is, you know, prevent some of the abuse, you know, for people. Mm-hmm. And those work requirements for adults 55 to 64 have expanded. Parents with children under age 14 plus. So it's estimated that about 5.3 million households could see benefits drop as much as $146 a month on average. So, I mean, that could be, I mean, that is substantial.
Mm-hmm.
But again, a lot of this is to encourage people to go back to work. I mean, and not, I mean, I hate to say this, and I'm not saying that we have any of this necessarily here in this area, but I do know there are areas where people just milk the system.
Oh,
they just milk the system. I mean, it's terrible. And that's what some of this stuff is designed, is just to cut down on that abuse.
Right.
And just, you know, unfortunately, there are areas where, you know, there have been generations of people that's their livelihood is how they just, you know, so it's, some of that is designed to do that. And then also one last thing I'll mention here is about some changes for small business and gig workers. And this is good news. Section 199A, and just about, you talk to any farmer or small business people, they know what that is. That's the 20% pass-through business deduction has now been made permanent. And again, that applies to small business owners, contractors, and gig workers. So if you buy equipment or anything like that, that Section 199A is a huge pass-through. And like I said, that can be substantial. And, you know, we've had that Section 199 for a long time, but there's been times over the years. I know I remember this, especially back when I was farming. There were years whenever you could take a big Section 199 deduction, and then the next year maybe you couldn't. It was back and forth. So some of that's made permanent, so that'll be good.
Very good. Dan Miller with us and Caleb Roebuck from Milestone Financial, Building Rural Wealth. So let's wrap it up. So you took a 1,000-page you took a 1,000-page bill and wrapped it up there just in a few minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Now I'm going to be honest with you. Sloan's in here filming us, of course, and Sloan and I talked about this, and I'll tell you, ChatGPT can help paraphrase stuff really well.
It can condense those 1,000 pages plus down to just a few pages. So let's wrap this thing up there. Just throw it up there. Kind of what do you want people to take away from our conversation here, Caleb?
Yeah, well, that's what I just echo for. You know, again, this is still kind of in the process. Like, it just passed, you know, this past 4th of July weekend. So, you know, now it goes to all these agencies, the IRS and stuff, to actually write these rules, figure out the forms, you know, give guidance on all this stuff. So, you know, still just keep looking out. We'll still be updating people. But, you know, to me, the big thing, it brings, you know, permanent tax relief and some new deductions and just that consistency to our tax code. You know, we've talked for years about the complexity of it. You know, at least, you know, this does add some, you know, some consistency to it for families and planning, mm-hmm. and especially in our business for, you know, financial planning, people's futures. You know, that helps when you know estate taxes, when you know, child credits, when you know, some of those things. So, you know, that's all good. And, you know, there's trade-offs to some of these things, but, you know, for financial planning, I guess, you know, that's what we're looking for. And it is pretty impactful for people, but you gotta do some planning and reach out to people and, you know, get some help on it.
Again, it's all the more reason to talk to a professional, someone that can stay up on these things and do like we have talked many times, the holistic approach from estate planning to your financial planning to tax planning and all of the things, all the services that you offer to help keep up and make sure that I'm doing things properly and using it to my best advantage, what's available and legal. So
that's exactly right. And that's the reason why, you know, we really encourage folks, if you have questions, you know, reach out to us. Like I said, we'd be happy to visit with you and see if we can, you know, provide some guidance on this. And like I said, we, you know, as soon as this happened, you know, I talked to, you know, our group here in the office, and I said, we got to get on top of this or be on top of it. We've got to get some information out there. I talked to Sloan right away and said, hey, we need to get, you know, radio show out here. We need to have, you know, the guidance and of prepared, because we're going to have questions. And so, however we can help folks, we want to do that.
Very good.
Yeah. And then, like I said, you know, there'll still be questions from this. You know, this adds some, like I mentioned, permanency, but that just, you know, basically eliminates some of those sunsets that Congress likes to put in.
Yeah.
You know, rules will still change. Laws will still update as people go. So, yeah, that's why I think it's just a good reminder to check in, update them, but, you know, be working with professionals that are also on top of this stuff.
MilestoneFinancialGroup.com, all spelled out. You can find your information there, phone numbers, emails, make appointments, and check it out.
Absolutely.
The building's looking nice, too, by the way.
Oh, thank you, Aaron. We appreciate it. Yeah, we're getting closer and closer.
Nice to see you both.
All right, thank you.
Enjoy the day.
Daniel Miller, Caleb Roebuck, Marcus Taylor, and Ashley Franco are investment advisor representatives of and security and advisor.